This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Candidates have until the end of this week to file with the New Hampshire Secretary of State to get on the ballot for the 2020 First in the Nation primary. But there's been some attention on the decision by a few candidates, or potential candidates, to not file in person or at all. NHPR's senior political reporter Josh Rogers joins me now to discuss the implications of that. Hey, Josh.
Good afternoon, Peter.
So we're nearing the end of New Hampshire's filing period. What is this? What is its purpose?
Well, the filing period's technical purpose is to get candidates on the ballot. They have to file a declaration of candidacy form. They have to pay $1,000. And once they do that, they will officially be on either the Democratic or Republican primary ballot. It's an administrative task, but it's become kind of a ritual. They go to the Secretary of State's office. They meet with Secretary of State Bill Gardner. They sit down with local reporters. It's an opportunity to, it's kind of a photo op, but it's also an opportunity for them to, you know, express fealty to the traditions of New Hampshire's First in the Nation status.
And a lot of candidates have participated in that tradition in the past few weeks, but a number of potential candidates haven't bothered to show up. Who's not going to participate in this part of the tradition?
Well, I mean, there are two categories. There's one category. We'll put Mayor Mike Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City. He's still a prospective candidate, but his strategists say that he was endeavoring to get on the ballot for states in Super Tuesday. Mike Bloomberg is a billionaire. He has the means to potentially self-fund a large campaign that would focus on states after the first four states, meaning Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada. Mayor Mike Bloomberg has indicated interest in running before. He visited New Hampshire early on this cycle. He's in past years considered a third party candidacy during the general election. His public consideration becoming a candidate at this point is something that, you know, people who are see the New Hampshire primary as something worth defending, have been very critical of. The chairman of the Democratic Party issued a statement saying that, you know, it's disappointing that Mike Bloomberg wouldn't want to participate in a tradition he described as invaluable, important, and unique, and that he wouldn't be tested the same way that other Democratic candidates would be and has been. I mean, there's certainly definitely a turf preservation argument that would be made by local people that if a candidate, particularly of Mike Bloomberg's means, were able to leap into the race after the early voting states and do well. And, you know, that's an open question. One, whether he would leap. Two, whether Mike Bloomberg's politics are such that he would do well in a Democratic primary, but certainly something that local defenders of the primary see as a meaningful threat.
So that was one category, and the other was?
The other category would be people, Julian Castro, a former HUD secretary. He said over the weekend that, you know, maybe New Hampshire and Iowa shouldn't go first due to their lack of diversity. Castro is Latino. And these are criticisms that he's made in various forms for some time. I was listening back to tape comments he made when he was up here last January, almost a year ago now, where he said, you know, he certainly respected the seriousness with which New Hampshire voters tried to evaluate candidates. But, you know, he raised the question of, is a state that's, you know, 95%+ white necessarily the best state to hold the First in the Nation Democratic primary? I mean, this is obviously a familiar criticism that New Hampshire has faced for some time. California Senator Kamala Harris, another candidate of color, decided not to file in person and to focus on Iowa. You know, neither Castro nor Harris were riding particularly high in the polls. And so, you know, there's that element of this, too, is that would they have the means to necessarily compete here? But, you know, in Castro's case in particular, one thing that's new is to hear the argument that New Hampshire is insufficiently diverse from a candidate in the heat of a campaign.
Mm-hmm. And others have claimed that candidates have de-emphasized the need to do well in New Hampshire because they believe Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders or Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, senators in neighboring states, they've already won the state in some ways. What do you make of that?
Well, if you look at results from past primaries, it's certainly true that there is a neighboring state advantage. You could point to John Kerry's results here, you know, Paul Tsongas, Howard Dean ran strong. Certainly Sanders ran quite strong last race. And, you know, there is a thought that is, well-founded in reality, if you look at the polls, that Sanders and Warren are, you know, at the very top of the pack here. And so you could understand from a strategic point of view, if you were a candidate thinking, well, I'm unlikely to necessarily be guaranteed a top spot in New Hampshire, perhaps Iowa is more wide open. So, you know, there's definitely some logic to that.
NHPR senior political reporter Josh Rogers, thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome, Peter.